Good evening and welcome to worship. It's good to be together tonight. And thank you for your presence. Tonight we'll hear a scripture that reminds us that our experiences with God are life-changing and that they're hard to explain and sometimes may seem silly to others who didn't have the experience. And we'll learn that from Moses' encounter with the burning bush that doesn't burn up. And the bush that speaks to him as well. A changing moment in his life for sure, a defining moment. Let's ask the Holy Spirit tonight to minister to each of us, whatever may be on our hearts and our minds, occurring in our bodies. We surrender to the moment of presence in the silence.
Staying in the place of quiet, let us listen with the ear of the heart for God's word. Our first reading is taken from Exodus chapter 3. Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. Leading the flock across the desert, he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in fire, flaming out of a bush. As he looked on, he was surprised to see that the bush, though on fire, was not consumed. So Moses decided, "I must go over to look at this remarkable sight and see why the bush is not burned." When the Lord saw him coming over to look at it more closely, God called out to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses." He answered, "Here I am." God said, "Come no nearer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." "I am the God of your father," he continued, "the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The cry of the children of Israel has reached me, and I have truly noted that the Egyptians are oppressing them. Come now, I will send you to Pharaoh to lead my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He answered, "I will be with you, and this shall be your proof that it is I who have sent you. When you bring my people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this very mountain." The word of the Lord. Our second reading is taken from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He pardons all your iniquities, he heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with kindness and compassion. The Lord secures justice and the rights of all the oppressed. He has made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the children of Israel. The word of the Lord. The gospel reading is taken from Matthew Chapter 11. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. The Gospel of our Lord and Savior.
Many of the scriptures that we hear in the lectionary readings week by week have increasingly less connection to me. And it's harder to resonate at a heart level or a mind level with the consciousness that is embedded within those sacred texts that we read. And this is very good, this struggle, this confrontation between layers of consciousness of humankind. That ancient texts that we read are resonating from a long time ago from a particular consciousness that is very unworkable for us today. And we can feel that struggle. And the task we have as contemplatives or people who are in the silence intentionally, the task we have is to do something different with these passages, and that becomes part of the gift that happens in the silence, that we connect at a deeper level than just the literal or the historical level of these scriptures. And I think every single one of us hungers for that deeper connection to reality and wisdom and truth. If you didn't hunger for that, you wouldn't bother to come here. But even so, if you didn't come, I believe every human being hungers for spiritual reality and increasing experiences that are mystical, that are spiritual, that are of God, and that change your life. I think every human being hungers for these kinds of experiences. And when we have them, they change our life forever. And we may remember them deeply and take them with us and hope that we have similar experiences. So with Moses, we have an example of someone who, number one, wasn't looking for this spiritual experience. He was going about his ordinary day-to-day life, and this experience comes upon him. This is always the first indication of a degree of honesty about our spiritual experience when we haven't conjured it up or even been expecting it, and it happens to us. And we find ourselves being discovered in this experience, knowing ourselves more deeply, knowing reality deeply, feeling connected to the oneness of the universe, feeling connected to the oneness of other people. These are extraordinary experiences that happen to people. And it's hard to know when they're going to come. You can't plan for them. You can't put it on your calendar. You certainly cannot control them. But these unexpected experiences of grace become transforming experiences for our whole lives, oftentimes. Another thing about this experience is that notice that it is first curiosity. There's a spiritual intuition that human beings have that Jesus says in the gospel reading, everything's revealed to the little children, not the wise people, but the little children, they get the revelations. And so here we see Moses representing a little bit of the aspect of the child. He's intuitively curious. He doesn't know, well, that's a funny thing, that bush is burning. And he starts walking closer. So the senses become a means by which our curiosity spiritually gets triggered. What does that mean for you and for me? Well, Your senses can include your emotions. So you could be going through a period of dryness spiritually. You could be going through a period of depression. Could be going through a period of great joy and fruitfulness. And these are senses that we bring to the spiritual life that get our attention and our means of increasing our curiosity. What's going on here in this bush of me? This living bush that can be set afire by consciousness. What's going on here today in my belly? What feeling is that I am feeling? What's going on in my solar plexus right now? What is this sensation? What's going on in my thoughts right now? What is this thought process? What is it? Curiosity becomes a doorway into revelation sometimes. We think about the revelations that come from higher levels of spiritual reality, visions and hearing voices and these sorts of things. But really, aren't the best revelations about ourselves? Aren't the best revelations a discovery of something that we've been wondering about or struggling with? Aren't the best revelations the revelations that help you no longer be the way you are and to be different? Those to me have been the most meaningful, fruitful revelations, the revelations of seeing myself more clearly, of understanding my patterns of behavior. And this really requires a degree of humility and intuitive curiosity. And another thing we see about this encounter is that this slice of consciousness that runs throughout humankind, that most of us have to grow through and evolve out of, we hear it in the voice of Yahweh, the God character, who says to Moses, I'm the God of your fathers, and you are going to be a great person for this nation that I am making, and you are going to liberate my people who are suffering. And so there's this aspect of territorialness in God that has been used in very exclusive ways to limit access to God throughout human history, that only these people are a part of the family of God, and only these practices and only these rituals, this sort of thing. And you can hear it right there in this passage of Scripture. And so there it is in this narration, and you can begin to understand why generation after generation, stories like this impact people and lead us to a degree of sense of separation and fear of God. And these are the kinds of passages that need to be rehabilitated to a deeper rediscovery that understands ultimately that Moses is hearing this from the perspective of the fact that each one of us wants to know that we matter. That each one of us wants to know that we're important and special. And so from God's perspective, God comes down to our level, so to speak, knowing that we each want to feel special and want to be a part of something in a special way and feel that it's just you and God. And that intimacy is conveyed here by saying, look, I'm part of you. You're part of me. We're in this together. You're part of this family. I'm the God of your fathers. And that ultimately points to the truth that spiritual experiences are personal. And no one else can ultimately understand them. They're special for you and for me. And that's the essence of why God speaks in that way to Moses, is to hook people by their connection of this is important, this is special, you matter. And then human beings mutate that and turn it all about themselves. But ultimately, it's meant to be seducing us to partake in the spiritual life. And very oftentimes, early on in our journeys, we won't get in the game of spiritual life unless we feel we're going to get something from it. The ego gets very hooked by spirituality for very good reasons, Because most people won't get into spirituality or seek spiritual experience unless they get something from it. And this is telling us something, that we got to start where human beings are. Speak to human beings at their level of consciousness. And then it evolves from there. And the last thing that struck me from this passage that speaks to us about our spiritual experiences, while they're not for other people, and while other people may never understand what you are feeling and sensing and experiencing spiritually, and best not to tell, at that same time, there is a profound connection between the inner spiritual experience that Moses is having of God, of reality, as he is discovering it, and social justice, and the righting of wrongs in society. And this is the profound connection between mysticism and action, between mysticism and transformation, that the two go hand in hand. This experience that is being given to Moses isn't just for him, although it's decisive in his life, and begins a relationship with this living God that is profound. Further revelations, further mystical experiences Moses has. But the mystical experience, this revelation, is so that he can be a part of the process of liberating his people that are suffering in bondage, in terrible slavery. Because it is this slavery and this bondage to a system of oppression that is the reason God is revealing this to Moses and choosing Moses to reveal this message to, because God, in the story, has had a spiritual experience. God, in the story, has had a revelation. God, in the story, has realized and become curious about the cries of the people under oppression. God has awakened, and God's heart has been moved. And because of this, God wants to do something in the story and chooses Moses to do it. So it's a very interesting phenomenon for each of us to rejoice in the experiences that we've been given, to cherish them, to remember them, to explore them more, and also to ask the question, what have your moments of revelation about yourself, about reality, about God, what have they meant to easing the suffering of this world? How can our spiritual experiences help ease the suffering of this world? To help increase the level of consciousness in this world, so that we move from just the private domain of our inner spiritual life to the fruitfulness of love moving outward in such a way that justice and social peace and goodness is arising. It's a tricky balance, but the two cannot be disconnected. At least in our hearts they cannot be disconnected, and we can start there. 30 years ago this summer, August 27th, 1989, I had a spiritual experience that changed my life. And this summer I'll be going to the very place where that happened, upstate New York in the Adirondacks, to celebrate that moment that changed my life at 17 years old and put me on the path to being a minister. Literally changed my life. In one moment, I didn't want to read a book, and 2 minutes later, I had a voracious hunger for wisdom and a profound cracking open at a psychological level and spiritual level. Changed my life forever. So I encourage you to remember your spiritual experiences and to go back as touch points to them and celebrate them. And perhaps there's a way you can get in touch with some of those moments in your life that have been decisive, as a way of telling your own story and staying alive inside as a little child is alive to the revelation and the mystery of life and the curiosity of spirit on this planet for these brief lives that we're given, passing shadows that come and go. Why not enjoy the spiritual experiences and seek to live from their fruitfulness toward others in love, being given. Thank you for your presence this evening and for your hunger for spiritual reality. The love of God, the grace of Christ, the peace, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit are burning in our hearts. Amen.